Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
To a T of somebody who is really extraordinary and can help a lot of people, especially if they're in the entertainment industry. He certainly helps people in all executive levels, but if they're in the entertainment industry, that's where his heavy background is. He's an executive leadership coach who works with a lot of talent executives to help take their management skills and leadership ability to another level. And I should point out, our guest is named Joel Berman. He spent most of his career at Paramount Pictures as the president of worldwide TV distribution before he transitioned into consulting one-on-one as a coach and one-on-one mentoring for TV and media businesses. He's a remarkable gentleman with an extraordinary career. And it's amazing. He points out that as many businesses are going through upheaval and increased rapidness, the need for strong leadership has really never been greater, yet many companies underinvest in their most important resource, which is their talent. And as a result, so many leaders get increased to a higher-level job where they aren't really prepared for it. They have to wing it. And he says that's not fair. Talented executives shouldn't have to wing it. They can get the advice and guidance they need from someone who has been there and who has done it. And he is certainly one who has done that. He provides a unique perspective for high-level executives, in particular media and entertainment leaders, based on his deep experience from running the worldwide television distribution for Paramount Pictures and its successor, CBS Paramount Television, to consulting with a broad range of industry leaders, content companies, producers, and talent. That's a little bit of his background. It's remarkable, to say the least, and it's really a pleasure to have him with us today and to be able to talk to him about how he helps people, because the entertainment business is really tricky. Joel Berman from Los Angeles. Joel, welcome. Nice to have you with us. How are you? I feel extremely lucky to be able to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm great, Doug. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Joel. Are you there, Joel? Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
I don't hear
Joel. Yes.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Talk to
Hi.
Me, Joel.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you, Doug, for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. You sound a little off mic. So speak up a little bit for me if
okay.
you can. It'll help us out. You've drifted back a little bit from where we were
okay.
when we were chatting just a moment or two ago. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about I love introducing. The president of Paramount Pictures. I think it's always interesting for people who are listening to a your story a little bit. Where did you begin? And when you did begin in this business, obviously the key question, did you ever expect to end up as the president of Paramount Pictures?
The television distribution division, not the whole company, but... Doug, I started out, I was selling advertising in New York for a firm that represented TV stations. And from there, I gravitated to selling TV shows to stations. I got a job at Paramount, and I started my career. I was selling reruns of Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, Taxi. And then we got involved in Entertainment Tonight, Solid Gold, and, of course, all the Star Treks as well. And I kind of worked my way up and became head of sales and ultimately got to run the division domestic TV. And with that came responsibilities for programming as well. And then I added international to my portfolio as well. So, no, I never imagined getting that far. But, you need a lot of luck along the way, and I had a fair amount of luck and enough skill to take advantage of it.
Well, no question about that. I understand that. What then made you make the jump into coaching? You know, it's interesting why people want to become coaches. Obviously, I think you love what you're doing right now, though. It's kind of a niche for you, isn't it?
I absolutely do. I absolutely love it. You know, my career at Paramount ended. We became part of CBS, and there were some redundancies. They had their own distribution group, and in one of these corporate restructures, somebody ends up in the game of musical chairs. Someone ends up without a chair, and that's what happened to me. And it was fine. I had a really tremendous run there. I parlayed that into a successful career consulting for other production companies or some digital companies as well. And at a certain point, I just started to feel I felt like I was really a natural at working with people one-on-one. I was doing more mentoring, which is different than coaching, but it just started me thinking about what my next chapter would be, and then I just decided to dive headfirst into coaching, and, you know, it's been close to 5 years now, and for me, it's just been tremendous. I've enjoyed it, and I know that I've been able to help a lot of my clients.
You know, it's interesting. You've written that as far as your career is concerned, you'd love to go back and do it over again and start again, and because there's so many things you know now that you didn't know then. And you point out, like a lot of leaders, your focus was, as you have said, too much on day-to-day of running the business and managing people. You saw the changes in the industry happening, and you would have spent more time looking forward, you know, 3-4 years down the road and giving people more direct feedback and challenge people more than you did. Let's talk about how you help people. And typically, when someone comes to you, what are they looking for, you know, from you? What do they want?
Well, it's my job to ask them what they want, but I am often hired by companies. I'm also sometimes hired by individuals as well. I'm hired by companies to work with high-level executives. In some cases, it's because they have someone who they really believe in, but not everything is clicking as well as it should. In some cases, they have someone they believe in, and they want to make sure that their transition as from one level of executive to the next level is as smooth as possible. So they bring me in to work with this person. And a lot of times it's really, everyone is different, but there are certain themes that resonate. And one theme that just constantly comes up is how people are managing their time. And, you know, everyone is always so busy. What I really try to do in these cases is just try to help them break down their day. But more importantly, just try to get them to talk about how they see their job. Like, what is your job? And from there, we can develop, identify priorities. And then it's part of my role to help them marry up their time with their priorities. And I just find oftentimes executives, and I was like this myself, I just got too buried in the day-to-day, and there's always another email to answer, and there's always another fire to put out. But if you don't make a conscious effort to really focus on your priorities, and not your priority for tomorrow, but where you want to be as an executive, you know, in 6 months now, a year from now, down the road, and where you need to take your division or your company, you know, in 6 months, in 2 years, et cetera, you just never get to it. If you don't make the time for it, if you don't create your priorities, you can't get there.
You know, it's interesting working with executives when you're brought in to help them. Are they a little apprehensive about working with you? I don't mean you, but I mean having the executives above them say, I think it would be good for you to work with a coach. You need to learn a little bit or something. I'm just wondering how they feel about that or respond to that.
Usually they are excited.
Good.
Occasionally there's a little bit of, someone once said to me, one of my clients said, well, you're my punishment and you're my reward at the same time. but mostly they're excited about the you know, it's really a vote of confidence that the company is giving them. They're excited to have the opportunity to work with someone. And these are, it's important to note that when I work with my clients, it's all in confidence. Even though the company hires me, what my clients and I talk about is confidential. And it's very important for them to have, you know, an outlet where we can have an exchange of ideas, where we can focus on things with, you know, and they're doing it outside their workplace. So they're not, it's very hard for someone to confess to their boss what their weaknesses are, or confess to their peers what their weaknesses are, or deep down what they really want to work on. So, but the answer is that for the most part, everyone's very excited and appreciative of the opportunity.
Let me ask you how you help understand or recognize what another executive's faults are or where they really can use help. Because a lot of people don't understand that themselves, do they? You've got to penetrate to understand.
A lot of people don't because they've really never been in a situation where someone said, well, tell me what you're good at. Tell me what you're not good at. Where do you want to get better? So it really starts with a lot of questioning and just listening in my part. And, you know, the key to the successful relationship with my clients is how open they are with me. And the more open and honest they are, the more progress we can make. I have found that many coaches come out of different disciplines, but the majority of them are not coming out of the business world, and particularly not at the level I was at. So when one of my clients is kind of describing situations they're going through, it's rare that I haven't either experienced it myself or seen it in others or seen the pattern. And as I've said to virtually every one of my clients, I've made almost, in my executive career, I made almost every mistake there was to be made. I mean, eventually I figured it out. So it's not as if I'm coming looking down on them. It's like, hey, I've been there, I've done it, I've made these mistakes, and you know, let's talk it through.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder if some of the people that you work with and consult with, if they're a little in awe of working with you. I mean, come on. You have a remarkable background, and you bring such credits to you. They might be nervous. Do you find that at all or not?
I've not. I mean, I really have not found that. I mean, if awe would be a big word, I think they certainly respect my background. But pretty much we're really talking about them, and I will occasionally reference something in my past that's relevant to them. But it's really about my skill in getting them to open up and then engaging in a dialogue with them and helping develop a plan. So this is what we want to work on. Let's get to it and keep them accountable. It very quickly moves from, you know, I spend 5 minutes talking about what my background was, and mostly it's about them.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think makes you a good coach? You know, I mean, anybody can be a good executive, but being a good coach, you know, that's a whole other category almost. How do you feel about that? Obviously, you love what you're doing. You got to be good at it.
You know, that's interesting. You know, I think I'm naturally a good listener.
Yeah.
I'm naturally empathetic. And I think those are the two, and I think also because I've been in business, I can really, you know, help with some real world solutions for them or help them talk through it. And again, it's not my job to tell them what to do. And I'm not saying there aren't times when clients says, well, what would you do? But it's not my job to do that. It's to try to, I can tell someone what to do, and maybe it's the correct thing, but it's not as meaningful if they can come to it themselves. So what really makes me, I think what makes me a good coach is being able to get my clients to come to the decisions on their own, to think through it, and we'll talk it out, et cetera. And I'm a good sounding board, and I'm, you know, I, I push back when I need to, but ultimately it has to come from them. It can't come from me.
That's really interesting indeed. Let's talk a little bit about how long you work with a client typically. I mean, is it a couple of months that you might be coaching somebody? Less, longer?
My typical assignment is 6 months. And some clients I work with, we talk every week for 6 months, and some clients I talk with every other week for 6 months. And oftentimes, my assignment will be renewed because they're making a lot of progress and it's working and everyone's happy. And so I've had a number of clients that I've worked with for, I've been renewed 3 or 4 times already.
That's pretty interesting indeed. You also do group coaching. Talk to me about the difference between, well, obviously there's a huge difference between working individually, yeah. But what's it like doing group coaching? How effective can that be?
It's really a different dynamic because people are going to be, even in a small group, they're only going to open up so much versus what they would open up one-on-one. But generally the groups I'm coaching, these are people at the same level within an organization that are, that are going through similar things. And so part of my role as a group coach is to foster a dialogue between the group where they're opening up to each other about some of the things they're dealing with, successes and lack of success, within the organization. What's their best way to get to the next level in the organization or to be more effective. And a good part of the group coaching is really helping the team, that group develop a rapport with each other where they can spark a conversation. And it's my job, in this case, the moderator might not be the correct word, but I'm really trying to bring out, this level of dialogue and then ask the important questions and, see where it goes. And then each group develops its own personality. So I'm just like, I'm there. I'm along for the ride. I'm there to help steer the ship. But so much of the dynamic in group coaching is the interplay between the people in the group and what they're getting out of each other.
Yeah, that really is interesting. You've worked with executives from all kinds of different industries. I mean, from publishing, you name it, you've worked with them. What about the entertainment industry? You're a specialist in that field. You that's where your background is. What's unique about the entertainment industry that makes it different from others? Or is there very little? How would you answer that?
Well, most of the entertainment business is a pretty special place. And I would say until recently, and it's changed a lot in the last few years, bad behavior was not only tolerated, it was almost like a badge of honor. It's like you can't be creative if you're just that buttoned down. And bad behavior in the entertainment business among executives was tolerated. And as a rule, although there are some exceptions, in the media, the entertainment business, they don't do a lot of executive development. Coaching is relatively new in the entertainment business, and generally they would bring in if someone's a real problem, they just had to, we've got to solve this problem, this man or this woman's out of control. But very little thought was given to how you develop an executive, how they go from, one level to the next level. And other industries pay much more attention to that. There's much more executive development in other industries. And I don't know why in the entertainment business, sometimes, no one knows what the special sauce is, but if the product is good, if the ultimate programming or content that's developed is good, bad behavior was always tolerated. Now, in fairness, that has changed a lot over the past few years, and it's been long overdue.
Well, everybody knows all the big, the names who've gotten
yes.
in deep trouble. No question about that. So the industry is changing for sure. But it's interesting because it's an industry that, it's been written about many, and nobody really knows anything in that. Nobody knows what's really going to work. You have an instinct. But nobody knows for damn sure what's going to work. That goes for movies, goes for television shows, whatever. It's kind of a very interesting industry because of that. And it is different, wouldn't you say?
Yes, the stories of shows that people thought would work and didn't work are, you know, pages and pages long. And the story of shows that people didn't believe in that became massive hits are just as long. And you don't really know. You could test shows all you want and, you know, research and testing shows, and it comes on the air and it could lay an egg, or it could go on the air and just, you know, explode.
If you had it to do all over again, what would you do differently?
Oof, God. That is a big question. I don't know. I generally like my whole arc of my life and my career path, so I don't think I'd make drastic changes there. You know, yeah. I do think going back to when I had my executive career at Paramount, I just wasn't giving a lot of thought to managing people, leading people. I went by instinct, and I think in fairness to myself, my instincts were pretty good, but I'm recognizing now that, leading people is really, it's an art form, it's a full-time job, it's a science, and as a leader, it's your job to out of your people. You can't do it alone, and that's probably the biggest flaw in the entertainment business. You know, for too long, everyone thought it was, you know, super creative executive, whatever. Things are done by people underneath you, and you can't succeed unless the people underneath you are highly motivated, feel engaged, and you're getting the best out of them. And along the way, you may lose people because they don't feel like there's enough of a career path for them, which is fine. You have to accept that. But, you know, if I had to do anything over again, I think it's just more important, just work with the people more, work on getting the most out of them.
And when you're dealing with executives at approaching the level where you were at Paramount, do you explain this to them? Do you point this out to them, and try and see if they're feeling the way you do?
Yes, I don't find resistance to that at all. The people I'm dealing with are too busy, and they recognize that they can't. If they don't recognize right away, certainly after a few of our meetings, they recognize that they can't do it all themselves, that without a strong team, you know, beneath them, beside them, they can't accomplish what they need to accomplish. And a lot of what I work on with people is how they can develop the people underneath them, give them more responsibility, coach them, mentor them, challenge them. Because you're only as good as the people you work with.
You know, we talk to a lot of coaches on these shows, and I always ask a coach, you know, do you have any success stories, people you've worked with for a while? I don't mean names or anything, but examples of people who you really needed help, and after working with them for a while, they saw the light, and things began getting much better for them. I'm just wondering about you in this position, in the entertainment business. Have you noticed that? Do you have any great success stories you could pass along or not?
You know, I'd love to tell you, there was someone, he was in the depths, and, or she was in the depths, and I brought them out. I can't speak to it that way. But I think the fact that I've had a number of my clients continue to renew and have their companies renew the relationship means they're getting a lot out of it. I've had a number of clients talk to me about how much they've gotten out of it, and but I can't speak to anyone who was, this person was, you know, was a mess and I saved them. It that hasn't been my experience. I'm working with really good people, and I'm helping them raise their game.
That's so important, helping them raise their game. And what's the key to doing that? There's, you know, you have action plans for the people you work with. I assume you give these executives homework between your assignments and your conversations with them. Am I right about that?
Yes, we do. Sometimes we do have homework. What makes someone raise their game is first an understanding of where they want to raise their game. What, you know, raising your game is a big, you know, specifically what do you want to do? And the step one is knowing where they want to raise their game. Step two is working with them on how to help them do that. And a good part of that is holding them accountable, keeping them on track, getting people away from talking about what they want to do and where they'd like to go, and then actually helping them, you know, develop a plan and stay on the plan to, you know, to get there.
That sounds so true. Must be true. Tell me a little bit about what you like about coaching.
I'm such a naturally curious person, and I love talking business with people. I love learning about, you know, what's going on in their business, what's going on in their jobs. You know, it starts from there. I really love when people are open about where they want to go and open about areas that they feel like they need to get better at, or they, in some case, they feel like they've let themselves down. I just love the one-on-one relationship and watching someone, you know, over the course of our coaching relationship go from, I'm not going from A to Z, but, you know, from maybe from start from A to C and then from C to F and then maybe F to M, you know, along the way. It's a process, and I just love the evolution of their thinking. And as that happens, you know, our conversations become even more meaningful as any of my clients build some momentum of success. It sparks like the next level. It's like a booster rocket toward taking their, you know, elevating their game to the next level.
That's cool. That's really cool. By the way, I assume you work in person most often with your clients, but I'm wondering, with the COVID pandemic, did that force you into doing
the pandemic
much of your coaching
has been
on the
Zoom
phone?
Or phone?
Yeah.
I work with people across the country. Until a pandemic, I try to, you know, do in person as much as I can. I'm based in California, but I have clients in Chicago. I have clients in New York. I have clients in Los Angeles, clients in the Bay Area. So I will travel to see them, and we'll do Zoom, and sometimes we'll do phone, a combination of things. But the pandemic has been pretty much Zoom or telephone.
But I assume now it looks like things are opening up. Maybe you'll get back to in-person coaching sessions with your clients. I
love in-person. I love, you know, so much of what I do is just, I just want to develop a relationship with my clients where, you know, there's just so much trust, and you can accomplish a lot via Zoom and via phone, but I'm a big believer in-person whenever possible.
You know, I just automatically assume you work mostly with men, coaching men. But what about, do you coach women? We only have a couple of seconds.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Work with women as well? You do?
I do coach women, yes. And I've enjoyed it. I recognize that I don't bring a women's perspective to things, which, you know, some people would say, is that limiting you? And actually, but I'm coaching women. I bring a men's perspective. So I've really enjoyed coaching women, and I've not found any kind of gender difficulty through it at all. It's almost been seamless.
Very good. All right, Joel. Joel Berman will be back with us again. By the way, his website is joelpberman.com. joelpberman.com. Go there. You can see all about Joel's background and how he helps people. And if you want to get in touch with him, that's how you can do it. joelpberman.com. Joel, we welcome you back next week, okay? We'll see you then. All right? Thanks for
being
with us.
Fantastic, Doug. I've really enjoyed it. Have a great day.
You're very welcome.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That's it for this session, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Be safe. Bye.